Christ's command to his followers before his ascension to heaven was for them to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Our Lord did not intend for the good news of his death and resurrection to stay local, but instead it was to be taken globally. In this third section of Acts, the adventure continues as the gospel is taken to the ends of the earth. Let's join Scott Pauley now for today's study.
When I was a boy, I remember watching my mother and my grandmother use a pressure cooker. And it was always a fascinating thing to me because the amount of heat, the amount of pressure built up was such a powerful thing. And if you didn't handle it properly, it could be very dangerous. In fact, I remember when they would let off the pressure and watching all of that steam come out. You had to be very careful handling it. You know, life is much like a pressure cooker. At times, it builds up. Sometimes it's the pressure of circumstances that you can't control, that you didn't see coming. Sometimes it's pressure from other people. Sometimes it's pressure we put on ourselves. In fact, I think sometimes we put pressure on us God never intended for us to carry and never intended for us to make our own. And then sometimes the pressure is the pressure of spiritual warfare. It is spiritual in nature. There's just spiritual opposition as we're trying to move forward for the Lord. This is the case when you come today to Acts chapter number 23. The Apostle Paul is in the pressure cooker. He's under tremendous pressure. Might I say, when the pressure builds, that's not the time to blow up. That's not the time to react in the flesh. That is not the time to allow yourself to just lose control. Remember that good things, wonderful things can come out of the pressure cooker of life. In fact, through the pressure, God is often accomplishing the greatest work. Let's read just a little bit in the opening verses of Acts 23, where the Bible says, "And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest, Ananias, commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. For sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? And they that stood by said, Revilest thou God's high priest? Then said Paul, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead I am called in question. And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, We find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle." So Paul is in a very adversarial situation. He is seated before a council, giving an answer, looking two groups in the face that, frankly, neither are friendly towards him, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees, of course, were the religious elites of the day, and they were hypocrites. They were all about the law. They were all about themselves. The Sadducees, on the other hand, were full of false doctrine. They didn't even believe in spiritual things and the resurrection and eternal life. And so there's not just a conflict between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. There's a conflict between all of this secular ideas and fleshly ideas and the truth that Paul is preaching. Paul is under tremendous pressure, pressure that most believers never have to go through. So what does he do when he's under pressure? As I've meditated on this setting over the last few days, I'm seeing some very practical things. Let me share them with you. Here are three things Paul did under pressure that we can do when we're under pressure. Number one, keep a good conscience. That's the most obvious thing. You stay right with God. In fact, in verse number one, that's where he began. He said, I've lived in all good conscience before God until this day. A friend, you can't control your circumstance, but you can govern your conscience. Now, you can't control what everybody else does, but you will choose what you will do. And Paul could stand before these people and say, my conscience is clear before the God who's watching. I love that, before God. Now, you see, your conscience is something that really only God sees and only God knows. And it's something you have to work at every day, because notice what he said. He said, I've kept a good conscience before God until this day. So he said, this is something I've worked at, given attention to. If you're going to keep a good conscience, you have to work at it. The conscience can be sinned against. The conscience can be seared. The conscience can be hardened. So keep a conscience that is soft and tender towards the Lord. That's very important. Don't lose a good conscience. In fact, in the very next chapter, chapter 24, and we'll come there, and verse number 16, he says much the same thing. Listen to Acts 24, 16. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. You want a good conscience toward men? Start by having a good conscience toward God. Stay right with God and right with others. And I'll point out to you, he said, I exercise myself in this. You'll have to work at it. If you keep a good conscience, it won't be on accident. It will have to be on purpose. So when you're under pressure, remember this, that is not the time to sin against God or sin against others and sin against your conscience. You make your number one priority staying right with God. A second thing I would say, not only do you want to keep a good conscience, but you want to stay respectful. I find this fascinating interaction between Paul and the high priest. And Paul rebuked him, rightly so, on principle. He quoted Scripture. But yet it's fascinating to me, he not only quotes Scripture to him, when he finds out he's the high priest, Paul quotes Scripture back to himself. He said, Scripture forbids us from speaking evil against rulers. And so he makes his apology. He corrects himself, if you will, because he wants to be right. Again, this is just a continuation of keeping a good conscience, but he stays respectful. Sometimes when we get under pressure, let me just speak for myself, I can get angry, I can get impatient, I can be rude and unkind. We all can get there. And the pressure is no excuse. Work today to stay kind and stay respectful, to exhibit the spirit of Jesus Christ. And then a third thing I would say, not only keep a good conscience and stay respectful, but depend on divine wisdom. Did you see how he discerned the audience, the Pharisees and the Sadducees? And he gave a very important answer to them, a very selective answer to them that, of course, would change the whole context. This is divine wisdom. I'm thinking now of what our Lord said, we must be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That's exactly what Paul was here. He's kind and loving and respectful, but he's full of wisdom and the discernment that comes from God. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, do you lack wisdom today? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Friends, life sometimes is a pressure cooker, especially in the context, the world and culture we're living in right now. But when you are most under pressure, keep a good conscience, stay respectful, and depend on the divine wisdom. If you'll do that, God will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. God will give you peace. God will give you what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. God will use you even under great pressure. Remember that out of the pressure cooker, God brings so many wonderful things.
Though no more Scripture is being written, the story of the furtherance of the gospel is being written at this very moment, and we get to be part of that story. The heart of our Savior is as passionate for the lost today as it was just before He ascended in Acts 1. Will you get in on what God is doing in the world today to reach the lost with the gospel? This is why Enjoying the Journey exists, to encourage and to equip you in the work of the gospel, whether it is through the daily broadcast or the many resources on our website, Scott and all of us on the Enjoying the Journey team are passionate about people coming to know Christ as Savior. We pray that you truly will enjoy the journey, but we also pray that you will bring others with you on your journey of following Christ.